Good morning, and welcome to the Bethel Mennonite Church live stream on this glorious Easter Sunday. Although we remain distanced, it feels great to gather together virtually with you all to celebrate the resurrection. Christ has risen. I will start by introducing those of us who are participating in this worship hour today. My name is Danica Pfeiffer, and I will be worship leading. Daryl Taves will be leading the prayer of the church, and Valerie Elipova will be sharing the sermon. Anna Schwartz is playing the organ and the piano. Our song leaders are Madeline Friesen, Lynette Enns, Eleanor Winter Friesen, Waldy Enns, Dave Dreger, and Emily Rempel. We will have worship music provided by Heather Pauls. Brock McKenna and Caden Clausen will be leading the children's time. Darcy Friesen is on audio, and Devin Friesen and Martin Kadler are on video and live streaming. All the wonderful visuals that you saw at the beginning of the service have been done by Maureen Wilson-Penner and Lorraine Petkow. At Bethel, we affirm that the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. We recognize that we are all treaty people, and it is with deep gratitude that we acknowledge that we live, work, and worship on Treaty One land, which is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe, Cree, Oji-Cree, Dakota, and Dene peoples, and the traditional homeland of the Métis Nation. Imitating the inclusive welcome of Jesus, we seek to be a community marked by the love of God. Regardless of your age, race, gender identity, or sexual orientation, we invite you to make Bethel your spiritual home. Sharing the peace of Christ, together we strive to reveal the realm of God in the world. During the season of Lent, we were being called to go deeper. Over the 6 weeks of Lent, we were called to deep relationship, deep commitment, deep wisdom, deep healing, deep growth, and deep hope. This week, on Easter Sunday, we are being called to deep living. The scripture speaks of a great feast being prepared for us on the mountain of God. It describes a wonderful feast of rich food and good wine and rejoicing in God. Sounds amazing, right? Through our scripture and sermon today, we will hear more about this feast and explore the question, what does it mean to live deeply? Please join me in our call to worship. And while it was still dark, Mary found the light.
The disciples came running, but they did not understand.
Mary stood weeping and saw angels, but did not recognize Jesus.
But when Jesus calls our name, then we recognize the way, the truth, and the life.
And then there was feasting, and there is feasting to come. God will make for all peoples a feast of rich food and well-aged wines, and will wipe away tears from all faces.
It will be said on that day, "This is our God for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice. There is peace by Jesus Christ."
Hold firmly to the good news which you received, in which you stand, through which you are being saved.
Let's open the gates of righteousness
to enter through them and give thanks to the Lord.
Let's sing together, "Christ the Lord is Risen Today," number 346 in Voices Together and 280 in Hymnal A Worship Book.
Creation, joy to save.
calls to deep. We call to you from the depth of our hearts.
Once weeping, now proclaiming, I have seen the Lord.
Once famished, now feasting. This is the God for whom we have waited.
Once divided, now convicted. Jesus Christ is Lord of all.
We shall not die, but we shall live and keep telling the deeds of the Lord.
Deep calls to deep. You call to us from the depth of your love, O God. You have come to us in Jesus Christ.
We answer your call to deep living.
Let's join together in singing Low in the Grave He Lay in Voices Together, number 333, and in Hymnal Worship Book 273. Our first scripture reading today comes from John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head was not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first,
also went in, and he saw and believed. For as of yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
Okay, the theme of the service this week is called Deep in the Feast, Called to Deep Living. Do you guys know what deep means? No? Can you think of something that's really deep?
Beavers.
What is it?
Beavers.
Beavers? Yeah, beavers build a really deep dam, hey? What about a hole in a construction site? Would that be deep? That'd be really deep, hey? Do you know anything that's deep, Mika? Smells good. And what do you think a feast is? Like having lots of food with all your family and friends? Yeah, you guys are having a feast snack right now, right?
Yeah.
And do you know what deep living means? No. What does it mean to live deeply?
Beavers
living deep in a dam. Yeah. It can also mean thinking deeply about what we do and why we do it. Do we sometimes think hard about our feelings and our actions? What words do they start with? The feelings?
Yeah.
Like sometimes we can be frustrated or sad or happy. And it can also mean learning to listen to the Holy Spirit within us that is pulling us towards meaning, value, and purpose in our lives. Does that sound good? You're not sure about that? And deep living can also be about learning to enjoy the things that we do.
That's okay, Mika.
Mika, what kind of things do you like to do?
Hammer nails and remove nails.
Hammering nails. Do you like to eat? Do you like to eat noodles? Yeah, you do. I know you do. And look, we have a lot of food here, and food is a big part of celebrating. And do you know what we're celebrating this week? We're celebrating Easter, right?
Yeah.
And Easter is when we celebrate when Jesus rose up from the dead. So what kind of things do we eat on Easter?
Noodles.
Noodles on Easter?
Yeah.
Okay. What other things do we eat on Easter?
Babies.
Okay, maybe we eat Pascha and chocolate. You think so?
And Pascha, the polar bear.
Polar bear, Casca the polar bear, rhymes with Pascha, right? Yeah. And so today, deep living is about celebrating and eating delicious food together.
Why?
Because it's Easter.
Yay!
Yay! So we say Happy Resurrection Day.
We praise you, our creating and listening, glorious one. Today we celebrate what is normal. Your power, quickening the community, defined by resplendent love, grace, and inclusion. Today we celebrate what should be normal, the expected hope of transforming sadness and despair into jubilation. Today we celebrate with all those Jesus encounters, bringing new life to folks like the woman of Samaria, the Canaanite woman struggling with her child, Zacchaeus, the tax collector, the paralytic invalid suffering for 38 years, who was healed on the Sabbath. Today we celebrate what is normal, meeting Jesus on the road of life, bringing folks out of an emotionless stupor toward endurance and hope in which the human spirit prevails and by which we are drawn into a deeply meaning-filled life. Today we celebrate the resurrection power of Jesus present in our desolations and consolations and elations. May your special joy-filled presence attend Hannah and Hamoud Jumaya, our Syrian-Canadian family who added a sister Lauren to 5-year-old Rayan and 2-year-old Lillian. Your love is washing over me. Thank you for Winnipeg singer-songwriter Jaylene Johnson, who wrote the song, lifting up our spirits with God's love, mercy, peace, joy, grace, and hope, all washing away our fears. We thank you for providing so many hands and hearts working and promoting your realm around us. We especially thank you for Mennonite Economic Development Associates, supporting burgeoning enterprising projects. And as spring seeding is on our minds, we give thanks for Grow Hope, for Mennonite Central Committee workers, bringing food to the hungry, and for so many farmers contributing to the ecumenical Canadian Food Grains Bank. As we live into the season of Easter, while we may rarely plan to discover new life, we nevertheless want to remain ever open to the possibilities of finding your involvement, O Lord, in our human experience. We give thanks whenever we become aware of new spirit developments, whenever we adapt the good news of inclusive love to our world, whenever we are actually are a community of lively ministries involved in feeding, housing, supporting, and caring for those around us who may feel beaten down, abused, misused, or neglected. We give thanks for Resurrection Living providing food banks, childcare, English language classes, clothing distribution, training in conflict resolution and racial awareness, economic counseling, and peace-building structures. Today, we give thanks for each good work signifying new life in God's realm. Joining hands with all faith traditions, may the normal, extraordinary grace of the Lord be with all the saints. Amen. Brian Wren is an internationally published poet and hymn writer, and we're blessed to have 11 of his songs in our hymnal Voices Together. In this next hymn, his text marvelously portrays the story of new life Let us sing, Christ is alive and goes before us. Voices together, number 565.
From Isaiah chapter 25, verses 6 to 9. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, Lo, this is our Lord, and we have waited for him, so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. From 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaim to you, which you in turn will receive, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaim to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I, in turn, had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe.
Let's join in a song of praise, Taste and See, number 467 in Voices Together and 86 in Sing the Journey. We invite you to join along singing on the refrain.
Христос воскрес, воистину воскрес. Христос анести, алитос анести. Пшихика кам, хакум квам. He is risen. He is risen indeed. What you just heard were traditional Easter greetings in four different languages: Ukrainian, Greek, Syriac, and English. Before the pandemic, you would hear these Easter greetings spreading throughout our sanctuary like a song. You would hear people saying, "He's risen," while sharing Paschas and having informal conversation in the foyer. Oh, how we miss each other, especially today. This pandemic has taken so much from us. But as we continue to love one another and our neighbors, we choose to limit our interactions in person. Although, despite the pandemic regulations, I invite you all to travel with me for the sermon. No, you will not need to self-isolate before and after this trip, because I invite you to come with me on an adventure back to the origin of the Easter greetings. Buckle up. We're going back to the years between 26 and 37 Common Era with the Apostle John, who captured this story. Take a deep breath and let your mind imagine. It's the first day of the week, early in the morning, before the sun is up. We find ourselves standing beside Mary, who just discovered that the stone has been removed from the tomb. And we can see a glimpse of terror on her face. The body of her dear friend and her teacher Jesus is nowhere to be found. Mary doesn't panic, but does the practical thing. She assumes that there has been a robbery, or that the Romans must have taken the body. So she turns around and starts to run to tell the upsetting news to her friends. I hope you brought your running shoes, because she's running fast. As she runs, she thinks of all the possible explanations to where Jesus' body could be. As Mary arrives to the place where Simon Peter and their other friend lived, she stops for a second to catch her breath and says, "They have taken Jesus out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him." You catch the confusion on their faces. That's impossible. Now we find ourselves running with them back to the tomb to see for themselves. When they reach the tomb, they only find the linens that Jesus was wrapped in and no body. How do you imagine their faces? They didn't believe Mary at first, but now, at the sight of the empty tomb, they feel lost and scared. Oh, so many answers, so many questions, but so few answers. After spending some time there investigating, the disciples decide to go back. I think they're still confused, mystified, and at a loss for what to do. But Mary stays behind in that cemetery, surrounded by death and loss. She stays there in the half-lit morning. She stays there in the pain, in the discomfort and uncertainty. How do you imagine her face? The face of a grieving woman who's bent over crying in the garden by herself. I can even hear her saying, "It's too much."
It's too much to see your friend crucified and then not even being able to give him a proper burial. It's simply too much to take in. I wish I could give her a hug and tell her that we feel her pain. We feel the pain of losing a loved one. We feel the pain of fear and injustice. Oh, Mary, we feel the pain of uncertainty. As she stays there in that garden, her eyes catch a glimpse of a light coming from a tomb. Two men in a tomb? How did they get in? Oh, that can't be right. Woman, why are you weeping, they ask. Maybe they know something? They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him, she replies. She can also feel a presence of another person behind her. That person asks her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for? It must be a gardener. But he might know something, the thought crosses Mary's mind. She says to him through the tears, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. You can see her face filling up with a glimpse of hope. That must be it. We can continue with the burial. But the most familiar voice interrupts her thoughts. She hears her name softly spoken. Mary. It's Jesus standing right in front of her. All the tears are washed away in a second. Rabboni, she says, while running to him for an embrace. Jesus says to her, do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Do you see this joy on Mary Magdalene's face? Do you see her running to the disciples? Do you feel her peace as she says, I have seen the Lord? Can you hear her saying, Pshihat kam hakum kwam? He is risen. He is risen indeed. Yes, me too. And that brings us back from our trip. Let's take a couple moments to reflect on how was it for you to travel back and be a part of that story. How was it for you to stand still in the quietness of the garden and weep with Mary? What did you bring with you to that moment? What was in your baggage as you were standing right there crying with Mary? Was it anxiety? Was it loneliness? Anger? Whatever you brought to that garden, whether it was your fear, your grief, your hopelessness, God met you there and wiped your tears by simply saying your name. At that moment, I was reminded of the assuring words from Isaiah 43. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name and you are mine. He softly spoke our names by the tomb to point to the fact that life has overcome death and that love has overcome fear. The resurrection was an intervention into our darkest hour. Because we have cried, we have grieved, we have suffered, but we have also seen the Lord. And without this part of the story, grief would be the end. Without this part of the story, we would see Jesus, a symbol of hope and love, that eventually died and ended. As David Bentley Hart beautifully wrote,
Now we are able to rejoice that we are saved not through the immanent mechanism of history and nature, but by grace. That God, rather than showing us how the tears of a small girl suffering in the dark were necessary for building up the kingdom, he will instead raise her up and wipe away all the tears from her eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor any more pain, for the former things will have passed away. And he that sits upon the throne will say, "Behold, I make all things new." Resurrection does not eliminate our pain, but it assures that God's plan to redeem this creation is in the works. The resurrection does not say to us, "Do not fear, simply rejoice, everything is fine." This story tells us about the unjust world that crucified Jesus, that continues to murder indigenous women, that continues to kill children in mass shootings, that continues to traffic humans, that continues to justify violence and support system of oppression. This story of resurrection tells us that God is still with us. The resurrection tells us that the work of peace and reconciliation that began in Jesus has to continue within us because we have seen the Lord. Christ's death and resurrection are God's proclamation of a hope that has always been and will forever be. That death is not the end nor the beginning, and that redemption is ongoing, nourished, and strengthened. Just as Jesus invited Mary to become a part of that story when he called her name, so have we been invited to participate in this deep living. By a simple act of calling her name, he invited her to deep hope, to deep wisdom, to deep commitment, to deep growth, to deep healing, to deep relationship. And he called all of us by name to deep living. So let's deeply live by accepting the invitation to the feast of love, justice, mercy, and peace. Let's dare to linger longer at the tomb when he calls our name and sends us forth. Until he sends us forth to share the resources that he has granted us as a divine gift to care for each other. May we be a resurrection people. May we allow Christ's life to compost within us and be the fertile ground from which we can nourish others. May we, who are followers of Jesus, commit to deeply living with hope that all creation and all people may be healed. Christos voskres, voistinu voskres. Christos anesti, alithos anesti. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Mshihidakom hakumquam.
Thank you.
There are many announcements in the bulletin, which can be found on Bethel's website. I encourage you to read through them after the service. But I will remind you that there will be a Bethel Kids Connecting at 11:15 today, and the Zoom link for that can be found in the bulletin.
Let's join together singing our final hymn, The Risen Christ, number 345 in Voices Together.
In the early light, urgent feet pound along the path toward the room. He is alive, they say. The tomb is empty and the room is full of wonder. And the feasting, the deep nourishment, and the knowledge of a risen Christ begins. May we receive this news once again with a call to deep living. Go into this day forever changed. Amen.